stare so deep in your eyes. I touch on you more and more every time. When you leave, I'm begging you not to go. Call your name 2-3 times in a row. Such a funny thing for me to try to explain how I'm feeling, and my pride is the one to blame. Yeah, 'cause I know I don't understand just how your love can do what no one else can.
Philadelphia,
so
Los Angeles,
right,
Paris,
so
London,
right,
Chicago,
so
Japan,
right,
Dallas,
so
Houston,
right,
Houston, Atlanta, Miami, Long Beach, Southampton.
Wolfgang Wire, wake up! Welcome to the Ken Butler Morning Show.
Hello, Wolfgang Warriors. Today I'm here with my lovely co-host Leah and...
Hey there, guys.
All right, Leah, let's get into a little bit of these hot topics.
So, recording artist Ciara was assaulted by the same attacker as Kim Kardashian, and he was wearing, apparently, just a thong, and the police did nothing. He's also tried to kiss Will Smith on the lips, and he's been banned from the red carpet in the U.S. Brenda, the star from Miami, Florida, says the only people who think that Ciara or Kim are not international stars are idiots. Lindsay Minaj from New York says this is sick and that guy should be behind bars. And Big Tom from London says, why are they famous? They don't have any talent. What do you guys think?
I think he should be like penalized for something, because if he's not, I think this gives the opportunity for everybody to think they can do the same thing. And it's not right, but I think... I don't know. What do you think, Leah?
If I tried to kiss Will Smith on the lips, I hope I would not be assaulted or arrested. But if I tried to go out in a thong touching people, I just can't imagine that's okay. There's a fine line. I mean, naked, thong.
Okay.
There's not a lot happening.
Do you guys think he stinked? Do you think he stinked? do you think he stank or anything?
Yeah, he probably did stink. He probably did.
Okay, so you guys, clap if you guys think this guy should be arrested. Clap if you think he shouldn't be arrested. All right. So, Leah, we'll get into our next topic.
So, speaking of getting arrested, Joe Giudice from the Housewives of New Jersey has been sentenced to 41 months in federal prison, and his wife, Teresa, was sentenced to 15 months, both for wire and bankruptcy fraud. Joe has to pay $414,588.90 in restitution, and he has to enter an alcohol program while in prison. A lot of drama has been unfolding on the upcoming season of the Housewives of New Jersey. Will from Philadelphia says they could have at least knocked off the 90 cents. Christina from Ohio says, I feel bad for their beautiful daughters. And Kevin Hall from Los Angeles says, Joe, don't drop the soap. And Teresa, you should start watching Orange is the New Black ASAP. What do you think?
You know what? I think that Teresa would be ready for jail because of how she is on Housewives. I think that she's crazy enough, and I think that somebody would be stupid enough to try her in jail.
She's fierce, and she won't stop talking.
No.
So you could just, that's painful, really,
right.
Enough.
And one person I don't want to owe is Uncle Sam. And I think that they kind of went on this thing like, okay, we're rich, we're going to do whatever we want, and that's it. But I think the real question comes in at is where, should this be a private matter or should it be a family matter? Should this be played on reality TV?
You know, they've had this publicized or happening on their show from a bunch of seasons back. So I feel like it's been so public, it's been documented this whole time. Why not just keep going and let everybody see it? We haven't been private before, let's not be private now.
Okay, so clap if you guys think that this should be on the reality show and we should all enjoy the drama. Clap if you think it shouldn't be and it's a private matter.
Nice.
Okay, that's what I love about the show. We're here to agree to disagree. So, Leah, what's the next one?
So, next independent artist has been heating up the stage next to the hottest hip-hop MCs in the country, such as Fabulous, Fat Joe, and many more. Welcome our first musical guest, Gonz.
All right. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Gons.
Hello.
So, I guess our first question is, who are some of your musical influences?
I guess as a kid, I was always into like Michael Jackson and Jimi Hendrix. I wasn't really big in hip hop as a kid. Mm-hmm. That came later. So my first like major hip hop artist was Big Pun.
Okay.
For, yeah, that's, if you know who that is.
Yeah, I know who that is. You know what I mean? Who do you, who are you most, what, oh Lord Jesus, help me. When did you want to be a, when did you know you wanted to be a rapper?
I guess when I was down in South Carolina, I found a way of escaping what I was going through down there through writing, and that happened around like 20 years old. So when I came back, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try the hip hop thing out, and it's been pretty good so far.
Okay.
What was like the hardest part in actually getting started in pursuing this?
It wasn't really the creativity, it's more the business side of it. Learning how to market and learning the industry, I think, is very important. That way you don't have to waste time and retrack and, you know, backtrack yourself so much. But that was the toughest part for me.
Yeah.
Now, with your first album entitled Gons, mm-hmm. how did you learn how to do all the production? Who helped you with the production on that album?
I had a guy named Dota Producer who he did a lot of the music part of it, and he kind of showed me, and I just kind of wrote the music, and I bought my own little home studio kit, and I just practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced until I got it right. And I'm like a perfectionist, so I think that's why it came out so well for my first project.
How long did that take you about?
About 6 months.
Wow.
6 months. So I cut about 30 records, and I only used about 15 of them. So it was a trial and error. My biggest thing, I didn't want to come out sounding like, you know, like crazy or whack or anything like that. It was like really just digging deep and just being me, not trying to be someone else, you know, in the music.
What's your favorite song that you've ever released?
That I've ever released? I'm going to say all of them because they're all different. They're all a piece of me in some way, some form, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but my favorite, it's going to be called While I'm Here.
Okay.
That was on my second album.
Okay. So do you want to get into, like, where do you see yourself going in, like, 5 years? Where do you see yourself?
With music? Hopefully, you know, I get on. You know, if I don't, I would love to mentor or possibly manage or can. I would always write, you know, possibly do stuff for like maybe commercials or get into doing stuff for movies and stuff like that, or maybe even ghostwrite. But I would love to get on and, you know, perform and be on the big stages and travel the world, you know.
So tell us about your band, the band that you have.
Oh, the band, the burgeoning great band. They do indie rock music. Mm-hmm. They always perform me. I think it brings a unique element. They're also my family, so we just, it's almost like that's my heartbeat to my music, you
okay.
know what I mean? So we have a lot of fun. They do indie. Right now they're on a tour doing colleges off the Northeast.
Okay.
So they're doing good.
So we have our song, we have one of your songs on our countdown, which is the one that you just said, Wow, I'm Here.
Oh, okay, cool.
So can you drop us a little sneak peek of something else today?
Like lyric-wise?
No, what do you want to play for us?
Oh,
Want us to play?
I want to play, probably, NY City Girl.
Okay, so we'll got that coming up, you guys. So tell us where we can follow you at.
Follow me on Twitter at Gons Music, that's GONZ, and then the word music, on Instagram, everything pretty much Gons Music, you can find me, and I'll follow you back, and we can share our lives through social media.
That's right. All right, you guys, this was Gons, and please download his music, please pay for his music, and please, please follow him on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is Gons again.
Appreciate it.
All right, thank you guys.
Thank you.
G-O to the NZ. Y'all know me. Go ahead, y'all can lean on me. Yo, I'm back rapping, they backtracking. I dropped the bomb. Monopolizing, it's getting popping. I want the throne. Still in the zone. Look how I've grown. They take a shot. So help me not. I brag a lot, but back it up. Early in the morning, I'm going coast to coast and ended on the buzzer beater. Look at how I'm rolling, yeah. Super dirty with my cousin, yeah, he brought the heater.
fighting for freedom to do it my way. While I'm speeding down the FU highway. If a hater in my way, I annihilate. And terminating the women, forget them, they can wait. I want the moment of moments. All around the world, yeah, they know him. Women overseas wanna bone him. Even got a hater say he own him. Cause every single record I be going in. Never pulling out, phenomenon. But they saying I'm way before my time. That's why I'm going every time to make it on time. But at the same time, they be the same ones that never got game time. Chin chillin' never, but for a suit and tie. Red wine under private stock. Roll up in the mall asking what I copped. Fuck the 5-0, never trust the cops. Yeah, that's how I'm feeling. Hero but like a villain, I'm in it to make a killing. Light skin and rapper, but I come off more appealing. I present it in a package universal for the women and for the winning.
Can I 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our top 10 countdown. Here's our number 10 song, Go Go Monroe, with a replay. That was our number 9 song, Katie Lowell with Hurricane. And now here's our number 8 song, Bottle, with I Never Wanna Leave.
Girl, I remember when you
All right, Wolfgang, here's Coco Jones at number 7 with Peppermint. Wolfgang, this is Helly Love with Risk It All, and Helly is my brother's nickname, but this girl has a name, Helly Love. So here we go, Risk It All.
Instead I started believing in nothing but what I'm seeing they all lies, lies, the truth is hidden, subliminal, really it should be criminal, lately I've been so disciplined, better moves, I've been taking all of my music, I'm making this getting better, better and even better, my movement is up and coming, get with it or die trying, I'm trying to spread wings so I can die flying, shall we, roll another one, just to honor me, there will never be another me, just some wannabes, roll with me and I'll show you why, nothing's out of reach. Don't believe everything that the past will preach awaken me. I'm feeling like life is super short to be trying to be something that we ain't even supposed to be. My vision be that some of y'all make believe, but you best believe I ain't giving up till you wanted me. G-O-N-Z. And while I'm here, I'ma live it up. I ain't taking nothing for granted. And while we here, we should live it up.
All right, that was Gon's number 5 with Here I Am. And now here's number 4 with Phoenix with Rundown featuring my girl Lee Mazin.
Beast mode, EMT.
I see fireballs looking through your eyes. Cause you do anything, anyway, just to get in these thoughts. Talking here and I'm talking here. We do it on the couch, we do it on the chair. We do it on the bed, we do it on the floor. And either way, got him screaming at him one more.
Rundown on me. He was trying to put that down.
Trying to run down on me. He always trying to run down on me.
have a special guest in the building. She is the first lady of Dream Chasers, and she is also a female rapper. Miss Lee Mazin, you guys. Y'all better give a bigger hand for my girl. Come on. All right, this is Miss Lee Mazin. Hello, Miss Lee Mazin.
Hello, hello.
So I think the first of all, you look really, really good.
Thank you.
Everybody always talks about how good you look in their songs and stuff. So I guess my first question to you is, when you were 4 years old, you played the guitar, right?
Yeah.
So what made you, are you still playing instruments to this day?
I'm actually just now learning the keys and also relearning the guitar. My grandma put us in this group. I grew up around all boys, so I had all brothers and my older cousins. So when she would babysit us, she used to make us do this. This wasn't by choice, but I was the lead singer, and my brothers and my cousins were actually my background dancers. So she had them standing behind me, like, doing this, and I would play the guitar, and we always sung was Patti LaBelle songs.
Are they still working with you today?
No, definitely not.
You can but, fire them?
I fired them at like six. But no, we used to go around to different like Salvation Armies, different shelters, and perform for them. And my grandma just had it in her heart that we was gonna blow up. We was actually called the Little Rascals because that was our favorite movie. So it was fun, and it just, you know, faded away just like other childhood memories. But I never pictured myself doing music. But now that I do music, if you meet my grandma, she will let you know that she started my music career.
She's responsible.
Definitely.
So how much being from Philadelphia influenced your music career?
A whole lot. When I travel and I go to different cities and states, they always say, like, you can tell where you're from through your music and through, you know, how you present yourself. And I take that as a compliment because where we come from, they say we got some of the nastiest attitudes, but on top of that, we don't take nothing from nobody. And I respect that because in this industry, you could get ran over like and not even know that you're getting ran over. And to just for people to know and respect where I come from, I appreciate that a lot. So it goes through my music because they always say we have some of the most lyrical artists, period, ever in the world. So once I spit for someone or they hear my music, they be like, oh, yeah, she's from Philly.
So how has Meek influenced your career?
I mean, I watched the headshot wave when I was coming up in middle school and high school, so he influenced me a lot. And once we teamed up, like being in the studio with Meek, actually our first time recording was actually in this room. But my first time being in the studio with him before I even got signed to Dream Chasers, it was just like he's really the definition of no sleep. Like if you feel like you're tired, you should probably go in another room because he's going to take a picture of you and put it on Instagram. But just his grind and his motivation, and he always say like being in the industry changed them, but nobody understand why it changed them. And I hear that from a lot of artists. You have to move with your progression, so you have to build yourself a little bit tougher than the average person. And a lot of people that you grew up with or grew up around won't really understand that. So I took that. That was one of the biggest pieces of advice that he could have given me.
So with him being incarcerated, has it had any effects on your career?
Not at all. It actually motivated me because he say all the time when he's on the phone and somebody will put him on speaker, if I'm speaking to him, he'll just say, y'all can't stop. Y'all got to keep moving. Not just for y'all, but y'all got to keep my name alive.
Right.
While I can't do nothing right now.
Do you know any of the status of him getting out?
He'll be home real soon, actually. Sooner than everybody's thinking.
Okay. So with your accident in Mexico, with the bike accident,
yeah.
Or have you been back riding since?
No. I'm kind of scared. And it's crazy because I started riding bikes. Excuse my voice. I got a little chest cold.
It's
but,
okay. We all.
I started riding maybe when I was like 17. Just being bored. And the guys were out. We was being regular teenage girls, wanting to follow the boys. And they like, y'all want to ride? And all my girlfriends was like, no, uh-uh. And I was like, I do. And they put me on the bike by myself, and I just did it. And I couldn't stop, though. I didn't know how to stop. So I just kept going, and they like, stop. And I'm like, how? Like, what am I supposed to do? But ever since then, I just kept riding. But in Mexico, we all went to Mexico. This was right after Meek started the Dream Chasers movement. And we all flew to Mexico for like a vacation. And actually to meet with some sponsors and different things. But, you know, Meek is about the bike life, so he wanted to ride the trails. So we rode through a mountain, like up a mountain, actually. We started at the top of the mountain and rode down to the beach and rode back.
I would have fell.
So everything was good. But on the way back, we were, like, in a single file line with the bikes. We were on four-wheelers. But the person in front of you was... their dust was blowing in your face, so you couldn't really see all the way.
Oh, my God.
And it was, like, a really, really sharp turn on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody seen this sharp turn, so about five people went before me. So Meek actually said once he hit the turn, he was doubling back to tell us to be careful, but it was too late. I done already flew off. I flew off a cliff. It probably was, like, 25 feet.
Oh, my God.
And I flew through a cactus. That was the crazy part about it. So,
and I hate getting stuck by them things.
That was my first and last time, but I flew through a cactus, and all I remember is landing, like, falling, and then the bike fell on my back.
So that's what broke my back.
But, yeah, I was unconscious for, like, 10 minutes. And it's funny now, but it was funny then. But
right.
I just hear everybody around me, but I couldn't, like, move. I couldn't open my eyes or nothing. I thought I was dead.
Oh, my God.
I hear them, like, Meek, like, yo, I cannot go back to Philly and tell them that she got to get up.
Oh.
Lee, like, Lee, you got to get up. And I hear them, but I don't know what's going on. I'm like, get up. Like, what's going on? And I finally got the strength to, like, reach my hand out and grab somebody's leg. And they're like, she up. Like,
yes.
She alive. Like, get her, stand her up. And I was like limb. But the crazy part about it is I had to ride back with all these broken bones. Like, they're telling the people, like, y'all got to call an ambulance. And they're like, the ambulance will never find us. Like, we're in the middle of a mountain. We got to get her back to the beginning of the trail. So I had to get on the back of somebody else's bike with all these broken bones. So that was the worst part.
Oh, my. I didn't know that had to hurt.
Yes.
With every bump, I'm not even going to bring you back to that point. But your back looks nice now.
Well, thank you.
You have a very nice back.
I got a couple bruises, but I healed pretty fast.
So do you still get any problems?
It's weird because I never really believed people when they said it rained and certain stuff that you previously went through, like, the pain comes back. Mm-hmm. But it really, like, when it rains, I get a pain in my back. I dislocated my elbow, so this elbow hurt from time to time. But other than that, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Right. So with you being the first lady and the only lady of Dream Chasers right now, will you be open to having other females come in, or do you want to keep that
there? It really doesn't matter to me because I'm still my own entity at the end of the day, so I still do everything independently.
Right.
With the whole Dream Chasers thing, I'm going to be a Dream Chaser till the day I die because Meek extended that hand to me, and I'm always appreciate that, but I'm still an independent artist.
Mm-hmm.
So it really wouldn't bother me at all because, like I said, I'm still doing my own thing, and you can't let stuff like that get to you.
Right.
Because eventually, if he, you know... The brand will get bigger and it's going to be more female artists. Hopefully, I would want it to.
Right.
I would like equal opportunities for everybody. So I would hope another female will come along, whether that be a female rap artist or a singer, producer, anything. I would hope another female came along, but it definitely wouldn't bother me though.
So what's your experience like being the only female with Dream Chasers?
It's like a positive and a negative all in one. Like when we did the tour, I got, like, a special attention to go in everywhere first or make sure Lee is cool. And then at the same time, I'm around a bunch of boys, so you know how annoying that could get.
Okay. So does it tell me one of the experiences where it did get annoying.
I don't smoke, so it's like that's what almost all male rappers in this industry nowadays do. So, I never really got annoyed. It was always fun. But you know how we get as females. Sometimes you just want your personal space, and the time you want your personal space, you can't really get it. Mm-hmm. So you got to deal with the boys.
Leah, could you agree?
I don't think I could travel with just boys for that amount of time. I mean, yeah. I totally agree, and I wouldn't even attempt it.
So did your assistant get to travel with you when you go on these trips?
Oh, yeah. I actually took my best friend and my assistant. So that was our first time in L.A. We flew to L.A., and then we did the rest of the tour. But that was all of our first time in Los Angeles. So it was, like, a dope experience, and she never really been nowhere but here. So it was, like, we had a ball. So I really don't got no complaints. Even when they annoy me, I still don't got no complaints.
Now, how do you feel when people say you're whack or they don't like that song or different things like that? Does that make you feel...
I mean, not at all. That's stuff that we go through in high school and college, middle school, everything. So I've been used to it. Everybody's not going to like everything that you do.
Right.
And it's songs that my mom don't like. Mm-hmm. And my mom is like my number one fan. So if I could deal with my mom saying she don't like something, everybody else really don't matter.
Now, how does she deal with songs like Fat and those other songs where like...
She actually likes it. And it's weird because Fat and like Back It Up is actually not my favorite type of record.
Right.
That was actually pushed through the people that I was around was like, no, this is a go. This is what's in right now. So I kind of got torn in that phase where you got a bunch of people in your ear, mm-hmm. and you got what you want to do over here, right. but it's like they kind of overpowering you, so mm-hmm. you kind of go that way. Mm-hmm. And my best advice to any artist is if you don't stay true to yourself, mm-hmm. you won't have fun no more. Right. Once you lose the fun in it, it's going to seem like a regular 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. And you don't want that because music is something I would hope that everybody that does music actually loves it because I love what I do.
Right.
He seemed like he loved what he do. So mm-hmm. if you lose yourself in the midst of it, mm-hmm. it won't be fun. It's like you're doing what the label wants you to do or your manager wants you to do or everybody else, and you're not at least doing some of what you want to do.
So you didn't like Fat originally?
No, I actually still don't like Fat.
Really?
No.
And you did the video and everything?
Everything.
Oh, my God. So who?
I mean, like, we had an all-out fight in the studio over this song. Wow. It actually was a year old. I don't not like the record. I just think I'm known for better quality.
Right.
And it's not a bad record. It was a club record. It's mm-hmm. actually getting spent on both radio stations in the city here, and I'm getting spins from like Boston down to Atlanta.
Yeah, because that's my jam.
It's a dope record. It just wasn't something that I would want to put out when I put it out.
Yeah, I ain't gonna sing the lyrics because the FCC would kill me. But so now with the song, on Instagram, you have a lot of followers. Yeah. And you have a lot of people that support you.
Yeah.
And you also get a lot of hate on Facebook and Instagram also.
Oh, yeah.
So now with the hate, when the people go back and forth, like the people who love you and the people who hate you, you know, go back and forth, how does that make you feel? Do you tell them?
Sometimes I think it's funny because it's like somebody will come say something smart and I don't know none of these people, so they mm-hmm. actually be real fans.
Right.
Or real people who don't like me. But
right.
My fans would come out of nowhere and just attack them.
Like, yeah.
It'd be like this one person to say something negative, and it'd be like eight people that'd just be like such and such and such and such, to the point where the person won't even respond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But some things be inappropriate, and my mom, like I said, my mom follows everything that I do. Like I miss tweets, I miss comments, I don't get around to everything, but she'll be like, oh, such and such wrote you on Twitter, and I'd be like, Mom, how do you know that? And she'd be like, I was on your Twitter all day. Like, she literally sit at work, and it got to the point where I gave her my Twitter password.
Wow.
Just so she won't have to search my name, so she could just see it. But a lot of stuff be inappropriate for my mom's eyes, and mm-hmm. my niece is 8. She stalks my page. She don't even have Instagram. I don't even know how she sees my page, but... if something is real inappropriate or real negative, I just delete the comment and block the person.
Right.
Simple, but I never respond to anybody.
Now,
negatively.
Do you write all of your statuses and everything, or does your management?
I actually tweet and post all my stuff on Instagram and Twitter. The only thing that my management may do is Facebook.
Okay.
But everything from my Twitter and my Instagram is all me.
Okay. So... Now, with the Rod Digger comments, she made a comment against Iggy Azalea saying that she's not real hip-hop. Do you agree with her?
I definitely don't agree. Hip-hop, my opinion, mm-hmm. runs the world right now, but is also on the edge of survival,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. What I mean by that is all different cultures, races, sexes, everybody somewhat, some way, listens to hip-hop, and a lot of things evolve from hip-hop. A lot of pop nowadays sounds like hip-hop,
mm-hmm.
or vice versa, but I like Iggy, and I think it was different. It was something that we were missing. Like, mm-hmm. I can't recall too many... Well, she's Australian, but I could never recall an Australian female rap artist.
Right.
So I think it's dope. A lot of artists, if you would say that Iggy really wasn't a hip-hop artist, mm-hmm. then you got to consider a lot of other artists, not hip-hop artists.
Okay.
Because it's so simple nowadays, and it's so oversaturated
mm-hmm.
that somebody can have a hit record today, and you'll never hear about them again.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll have a nice wave for, like, 6 months, and then you never hear about them again. So it's so easy. What I mean by easy is if you get a nice beat, you can say ABC in a way that's going to gravitate people, and you got a hit record. Some people may consider that person who made that record so simply not a hip-hop artist. And some people may. It's all about... I look at hip-hop like being able to freestyle on the spot. And if you can't do that, being able to put words together in a clever way that makes people think a little bit or having fun with it. Nowadays, it's so different, but it's still considered hip-hop. So it's all about how you look at it. I like the lyrical storytelling, having more fun, because anybody can sit down and write A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B type of poetry and make it sound like a rap song. Anybody. Like, my nephew could do that. He's 5.
Right.
But is the people who really have it that sit and write songs or write stories that you want right while they're rapping it, you can picture it happening. Or they say something and you be like, that was real clever.
Right.
That's the type of, you know, hip hop that I like, but it's not a lot of that no more. Like, I think Kendrick and J. Cole probably had like the best albums of, I guess, last year. That was last year. And now it's just different. All you need is that beat and a hook and you kind of got a record. Your verses don't really matter no more.
So now, does that give you any pressure? Do you feel like I need to go the pop route, or do I need to sound like what's on the radio, what they're playing on those stations?
It's a level, and you gotta find your balance. And once you find your balance, it's all about staying relevant to what's going on, but also staying true to yourself. Because if you make a record, if you think, okay, Bobby Smurda made this record and is the talk of the world right now, so I'm gonna make a record that sounds just like his, it's not gonna work because we already got that record.
Right.
So you gotta, even if that's your mentality or that's your plan, okay, he made this record and it's so simple, you could take the simple format but put your own twist on it that's gonna make it uniquely yours.
Okay. Do you feel any pressure or like competition between any other female rappers in like the industry?
I mean, definitely. It's definitely people who are superior to me, but I look at it like a goal more than competition.
Mm-hmm.
It's friendly competition, actually. Let's say it that way. So yes, definitely some females who are in a better position than me.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think like anybody is better than me? Of course not. I wouldn't be doing what I was doing if I didn't think I was the best.
Right.
So with that motivation, that's the motivation that's going to get me where I want to go.
Okay. So now I have a little rumor patrol for you.
Okay.
Because there's some rumors out there, and I want you to clear them up.
Okay.
So now with this, it's another female rapper from Philadelphia. They said that you had an incident with her at the Philadelphia Hip Hop Awards.
I didn't even attend the Philadelphia Hip Hop Awards.
Okay. So that was gone. That's a lie.
It's not a lie. I just wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't have any identification.
Okay. So we cleared that up. So the next one is that you were intimately in relationships with Meek Mills, and that's why you got the deal.
Oh, I didn't hear that one yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I heard it on Instagram, but definitely no.
Right.
I mean, that's a given. I could have got signed to Rick Ross, and he was going to say the same thing.
Right.
Just like Iggy now, they saying Iggy is in relations with T.I.
Right.
That's kind of like people just assume So how fast-paced the world is now, it's like if you're even cool with a guy, we could take a picture and I guarantee somebody will say, yo, my boyfriend.
Oh, not me, honey.
Maybe Don's. Without even knowing anything or while we're in a picture together, mm-hmm. people may assume, okay, Lee messed with Kim Butler.
Right.
And that's just our generation.
Right.
So I've heard that. Of course, I knew I was going to hear that when I got into the situation, but that's definitely not true.
Now, did you ever say to yourself, dang, should I go with another label, or should I go with somebody else, or does this feel right?
It felt right from the beginning. When he first gave me the call, he actually called me the night of Powerhouse. And it was funny because I had just like twisted my knee like 3 days prior, so I had a little limp. I had a limp with me, but I was going to Powerhouse anyway, so I'm actually getting dressed for a Powerhouse, and I get the call from Meek. And I'm sitting there with my mom and my younger brother. And he like, yo, you ready? I'm like, ready for what? He like, I'm bringing you out at Powerhouse. I'm going to tell everybody I'll make you the first lady of Dream Chasers. And I'm kind of like stuck. Like, yeah, I'm ready. He like, you sure? I'm like, yeah. He like, all right, don't tell nobody. I want it to be a surprise.
Wow.
So I hang up. So my mom like, what? So I tell her, I'm like, yeah, Meek said he gonna bring me out. She like, oh, you got to get that walk together. You got to fix that. You got to do something about that. Practice your walk or something. And I'm like, Mom, she like, you can't go out there all them people and be limping like that. So when I'm walking on stage, that's the only thing. All I hear is my mom in the back of my head like, get that limp together, get that limp together. So I'm like walking kind of like slow. Mm-hmm. And I'm like dragging this leg a little bit, but I don't want nobody to know I'm dragging this leg. So it was kind of funny, but... yeah, it was. He called me the Night of Powerhouse, and it just felt right because it was like I get compared to Meek all the time.
Right,
like the female Meek Mill. Mm-hmm. I got the Philly sound. He got the Philly sound, and he's the first artist from our city that really put on. And since maybe like Stay Prop days, mm-hmm. and it just felt right. He always showed love every time I bumped into Meek. I actually knew Meek before I was doing music, but once I started, I just kept seeing him out of town. He would always compliment me like on what I'm doing. Like, yo, I see you. You making the most noise in the city, keep it up, et cetera, et cetera. So when he gave me the call, it just automatically felt right. I'm like, you know, it's time to really bring Philly back.
Right.
So it felt all the way genuine at the time.
So for you to walk out in Powerhouse and see all those people, were you nervous or was it just like an adrenaline rush?
I was nervous the whole time because the thing was I didn't know when he was going to make the announcement. So mm-hmm. we're all behind him on stage. And I'm just like, all right, what if he do it now? What if he do it now? And so the whole time I'm waiting, I was nervous. But once I got, like, he said my name and I heard people screaming, it was just like, wow, like, this is for real. And I wasn't nervous anymore.
Mm-hmm. So we have your song with Phoenix on the countdown, too. How did that collaboration come about?
That's actually the second song that I did with Phoenix. She's on my second mixtape and the third one. So we linked up in the studio. I liked her sound. She liked mine. And we just became cool since then. She ever needed a track, I ever needed a track, vice versa. We just made it happen. So with this record, my producer, P.I., who works around the corner at Certified mm-hmm. Studios, he came up with the track, and I came up with the concept, the R. Kelly record,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to flip it in a female way. So it's called Tonight, mm-hmm. and with the R. Kelly version, it's like, you used to me spending and whining and dining on you, but tonight you gonna give me some.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to flip that, like, okay, mm-hmm. You did what you were supposed to do. You showed me that, you know, I was worthy and you appreciated me. So now I'm going show you a good time tonight.
Okay.
So I wanted to flip that.
So you set yourself up with just giving me that little bit of rhymes just now. Can you give me a little freestyle?
I got the heart of a lion. My state is optimistic. Looking back on my past, like will my dreams soon diminish? Nothing that I should fear, cause I was taught never be timid. Mommy said, don't you start it, don't start it unless you finish. And I went and got it. Never stopped, they died at Holly, asking will she make it? With the butts, or if surprises, all of the suspicion. Only stood right here with me, I had to open up my wings, fly high and just believe. I needed one pen, one mic. It started with all of these long days, then one night. That changed my whole life. I'm standing on a stage in front of 20,000 folks. They screaming that they love Lee, the ones who really hate the most. You know how I feel to have half your city saying that they hate you. The other 20 walk around saying that they made you. So I just took the 30. You gotta live and you learn. But if I give you all of me, what will you give me in return?
All right. So what is your favorite mixtape that you have?
I like all three of them. My first mixtape, I had the squeakiest voice in the world. I was so happy to just be doing something. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I sound like a mouse on a trap. I cannot listen to that mixtape no more. Like, no. And my best friend, like, that's her favorite mixtape. So if we're, like, driving, if I got a show in New York and we're driving, she'll just put the whole mixtape on and, like, put it on shuffle and just won't let me turn the radio down. And it drives me crazy. And she do it to be smart. But that mixtape... I didn't know what I was doing. I put 22 records on a CD, printed them, and just went around and just gave them out. That's how hype I was. But it got some classic records on there because that was me in my raw stage where I just wanted to flow. And so it was a lot of memories with that mixtape. And I got a lot of dope features. I was just meeting local artists and moving around. Miss J showed me love on that mixtape. And then the second
That's
one.
That's the Set It Off song, right?
No. I actually did a record with Miss J when I first started off.
Oh.
And the second mixtape was called Love Lee. And with that one, it tells a lot of my pain. I got a couple storytelling records. I always do storytelling records, but I got to be a little more versatile with that one because I learned a lot more. Mm-hmm. I got features from, like, the Philly legends like Petey Crack and Freeway. And then with my latest mixtape, which is called In My Own Lane, I linked up with Trina, Ace Hood, Freeway again. I got Marsha Ambrosia on there. Mm-hmm. So that mixtape was my biggest thus far, because I really learned a lot, and I progressed with my tone, my voice, my music alone, my writing skills, my freestyling skills. There's records on there that I just went in the booth and just went off the top of my head. So that's probably my favorite one, because it really, really showed my versatility, and also me being able to switch it up a little bit and grow with my music.
So now with featuring stuff, right? So has an artist ever sent you a track and you just didn't like it? You don't have to say a name. Just tell me about the situation.
Oh, yes.
So what happened when one of those things happened?
Sometimes, and this is not all the time, but if the money talk, the money talk. So sometimes, sometimes there's records where I'll be like, but if it's like seriously horrible to where it hurt my ears, I turn the money down and everything. Like, right. I can't put my voice on this.
So how did the collaboration with Trina come about?
Well, I met Trina and Onyx, and this is another funny story, but they called me down to Onyx. They're like, yo, we got Trina here tonight. You should come through. So they gave me a section, and they messed up the sections, actually. They gave me Trina's section, but they didn't know until Trina got there. So me and my peoples, we all in our section. We turning up, and Trina come in. So they like, Lee, I'm sorry, but we got to move you over here to this section because it's Trina's section. Mm. So I'm like, I'm not moving. Tell Trina to come over here. Like, she gonna have to come in here with me. Right. And I was like, dang, what if she come here and curse me out? We're going to be, it's going to hit the tabloids. And I just was thinking, like, the worst. But they looked at me like, you sure? I'm like, yeah. Like, this, yeah, I'm home. Like, no, I'm not moving. So when Trina come in the section, she like, hey, how y'all doing? So I'm like, hey, how you doing? Like, I'm Lee Mazin. And she was like, yo, I heard about you. You dope. I've been talking about you all the time. And I was like, whoa, like, this went better than I thought it was going to go. Right. So we exchanged numbers, and we, like, partied the whole night away. Like, I'm talking about, they was just giving us ones to throw. We didn't even have to get none ourselves. And it was, like, bottle after bottle, and we had a ball. And from there, we just clicked. Like, I could call Trina for anything, advice, a feature. Every time I'm in Miami, we link up. She come to Philly, she called me, like, I got a show. Come on, I'm going to bring you out. And it, like, she's one of the first people industry-wise that really, really opened their arms to me. So that's like a big sister to me now.
Right. So that's good. So what can we expect from Lee Mazin from, like, in the next project? What's going on?
Well, my next project is called No Love Lost. Mm-hmm. So that'll be dropping around November or December. I don't have the exact date yet. I got to sit down with my marketing team and everybody. But I just thought of the name, like, literally, like, 2 days ago. But it's called exclusive? No Love Lost. Of course. I sent y'all an exclusive record. But I got some dope producers on there. I worked with a lot of people from down Atlanta and Miami also. L.A. as well. I'm going to have some dope features this time, but I'm not going to have as many because I really want to present myself with this project.
Right.
And then I'm dropping my official EP, which will be out for purchase at the top of the year.
Now, so that's what we want.
I'm excited for that, too.
So tell the people where they can follow you.
Twitter, Instagram is at Lee Mazin. That's LeeMazin. Facebook, Lee Mazin. YouTube, Lee Mazin, LeeMazin.com. Anything that you can think of, search box, just type in Lee Mazin and something will pop up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Lee Mazin.
Thank you.
Hunger to a city.
All right, Wolfgang Warriors, salute. That was Natalie Walker with Cool Kids, and then here's the number two song, Jessie Malay with Beg.
I can do without this, you can dream about this, boy. Be brave. Baby, you can make a comeback, make me wanna run back, just behave. So you think that you're a star, you won't make it very far with me. No way. If you wanna play the part, better know right from the start. Hear me when I say,
ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of our top 10 countdown, unfortunately. And fortunately, you guys can find out how to win our iPad Mini if you just hashtag Kim Butler Morning Show and your favorite artist's name and song title. You can get it on our top 10 countdown, or if it's already in our top 10 countdown, it would move up. Here's the number one song, Matt Kermansky with This Train.
You can't help but wonder. Maybe if I just said hello, cause you wouldn't have to sit alone in life. Can't be so misleading, and time won't give me a reason. So how is this meant to be if I don't even know your name? Here, I'm just a writer. Beside me, you're all that I would ever need. Still, I don't even know your name. My whole life riding on this train. For hours, I was waiting on this long ride, thinking maybe she'll find the answers to what she's praying for. Whoa, so maybe if I just said hello, she wouldn't have to sit alone.
Now we're going to go off into a little bit of our sound off segment. Gina Starr, what do you think about the topics for today?
Well, I want to talk about the guy running around in his underwear or a thong. I just feel as though he should be reprimanded for what he did in some sort of way, as you were saying earlier, because it's just disrespect to the celebrities, I feel like.
Right.
And he didn't get in any trouble. So like you said, it's going to leave for other people to do the same things. I think he should just be in trouble for it.
Okay. So what does anybody else think about any other topics? It doesn't have to be that one. Lisa, I see you there.
I mean, for me, it was great to hear from the artists. Love to hear where people get their inspiration from, and to meet them in person and hear that story is really inspiring to me, so I love that piece.
All right.
Would anybody else like to say anything?
I just want to say I respect people like Lee Amazing, people that are really doing it and having fun with it. Fun is very important, I think. That was something she really pointed out. Just crack my screen again. Really pointed out. And also you, Ken, someone that's always progressing and finishing. I think that's very important. I think we have to teach people how to finish in life.
Right.
If you don't finish, everything else really doesn't matter.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's just my key point. And I'm glad to see people doing their thing here.
All right.
I think the same. I think it was an inspiration to pretty much be able to, you know, get a more intimate or more personal understanding of people, because like you said, you only get to see but so much socially. And then like I mean Lee Mazin sitting right here looking beautiful, but honestly, I can honestly say that I have a different respect for her now. Mm-hmm. Because she's not that girl that, you know, you think that you know, like, her vocabulary is very versatile. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, you very got all this, right, very intelligent, you know what I mean? Very, like, you know what I mean? Has a, you know, really, like, confident, and that's very, very, like, that's different, because you don't really get to see that when you see in from the outside looking in. Not that I know her, but I just got a better sense. Even like the interview with Gwan, the way you perceive a rapper. Mm-hmm. And this guy doesn't look like that, you know what,
right,
I mean?
Right.
And like she said about Iggy, like, you can't really put stuff in a category, because talent is talent. You can't deny a person,
right,
their talent by the way they look. So I think I got, you know, I was satisfied with, you know, just the one-on-one, like, and now I'm following everywhere. Like, I thought I was following on Instagram, now I'm on Twitter, now I'm gonna found five pages on Facebook. Ken, you already know how I feel about Lee Mazin. So you know how that goes. But yeah, it's just nice to be sitting in the same room with people, and it's an aspiration. I mean, you know what I mean? It's motivating, it's inspiring. So I enjoyed that part of the show.
Okay. All righty. So, Leah, what did you like about the show? Was it sound on for that?
It was really kind of cool. I didn't necessarily know what to expect, mm-hmm. But just getting to see Gwan and Lee Mazin and, you know, just kind of being here with everybody. Everyone's got, you know, something to say and something to feel. And, you know, it's nice just to sort of be a part of a community of people and just, you know, talking and hearing and seeing what's local, what's going on, how people get started. It's not just about, you know, the music that's on the, you know, most popular station in top 10 that's getting played over and over again. There's a lot happening locally that's really cool to see and watch and, you know, be part of.
All right. Well, I thank you, Wolfgang, for listening. Please subscribe to our fan page on Facebook. That's Ken Butler Morning Show. And also download us on iTunes. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time.